want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. I hope that you are ready to rock and roll again with another week here in Brevard County, and that you are ready to make an impact in central Brevard County for the kingdom of God and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so pray that you are getting ready. This coming week will be Mother's Day. This is a busy week for us. We had, last week we had a daughter's birthday. Office manager had a birthday. Office manager's mother had a birthday. Everybody and their brother had a birthday. This week I've got another family member having a birthday. Next week I've got the guy that I see in the mirror every morning when I brush my teeth. He's got a birthday. A few days after that, grandchild has a birthday. So this is going to be a rough period of time on my diet journey, I'm afraid. And that's okay. That's okay. But we do hope that you are getting ready for Mother's Day. And if your mother is still alive, I pray that you would take advantage of that opportunity to treat her like a princess of God, and make sure that you know that she knows that you love her and appreciate her. My mother was one that always put the needs of other people in front of her. Out of everybody's closet, hers was the smallest closet. She had the least amount of clothes of anybody. We didn't always have a lot of money when we were growing up. Not saying that we were the poorest people around, but we were closer to that end of the spectrum than the other end of the spectrum. And my mother would always prefer to buy somebody else something than she would herself. Make sure that you honor the ladies in your life. And, if your physical mother has passed away, I'm sure that you've got a spiritual mother someplace that has helped to nurture you in the faith. And I encourage you to honor them as well. Honor the mother of your grandchildren, the mother of your children. Honor the ladies in your life. And like I say, honor those spiritual mothers as well. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. In case you're hearing their name, but you're looking to find their number on your own, you can do this in your search engine, Weirich, Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They've been providing professional sales, service, and repairs for air conditioning needs, heating needs, and in the electrical field for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings. They even provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So when you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. We've made it till May with what I would consider to be much cooler than normal temperatures the beginning of the year. We've had a couple of warm days, but overall, it's been a cool to moderate season. That's bound to change at some point in time. And you want to make sure that your air conditioner can handle that. And so, you might even want to have them come out and check your air conditioner and say, hey, I know that my AC could use a little TLC. I wanted to call you before it got to be 150 degrees outside, so that I could be a blessing to you. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. That would be greatly appreciated. Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric in Rockledge, Florida. They travel all throughout Brevard County. They can come to where you are and take care of the problem that you have. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Today we are going to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And this is a Psalm of David. We are studying right now that we need to be people who seek justice. People that seek justice. And so we're going to begin to work through some of these passages of scripture, things that that can instruct us. And Psalm 25 is one of those passages. In verse number 1, it says this: "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who dealt treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long. Remember me, or remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses." So, in verse, I'm gonna set a little stage here. There's something that is repeated 4 or 5 times here in these 12 verses, and sandwiched right there in the heart of it is the concept of justice, the principle of justice that we're looking at. Justice is not something that is innate to us. It's not something that comes natural. Justice is something that we have to be taught. "Left to our own devices, every man does what is right in his own eyes." You know, we wonder why societal norms are devolving when we've got decades of education telling people that they are a cosmic accident and that there is no purpose to life, and when it's over, it's over. We're appalled when we see things that have historically been forbidden are actually now being practiced, while at the same time we have been undermining and doing everything possible to cause those norms to collapse. That's what's been going on a social level now for decades. At one point in time, I had a dog. It was a dog we bought for our son. And I had told the kids that I would buy them a dog whenever I could afford to feed them. Not the dog, the kids. I was like, "Until I can feed you, I'm not buying a dog." And this dog loved to burrow. I'm not talking just dig. This dog dug tunnels. And went looking for the dog in the backyard one time and found a hole. Looked in the hole, couldn't see anything. Started calling for the dog, looking all over for the dog. And the next thing I know, I find this dog coming out from this tunnel that he dug. And it's like, strangest dog I've ever known in my life. And I've been around dogs my whole life. So I don't right now I don't remember why I started telling you that story. It'll come to me or it won't come to me one way or the other. That, to me, that wasn't natural. That dog, now I remember because of undermining things. That, when I saw where that dog came from, my initial thought was, I hope what that dog burrowed under doesn't come collapsing down. That's honestly what I thought. We in society, we've got to quit undermining righteousness. We got to quit undermining a relationship with God. We need Jesus. Need Jesus. Okay, to the passage. Psalm 25. It says here in verse number 4, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. So the first thing that I want to talk about is that God wants to teach us. He teaches us things that our fallen nature has deprived us of. And so God says that the first person that he wants to teach is in verse number 1, to the person who lifts up to God their soul and say, God, here I am, my mind, my will, my emotions, my very life, I lift it up to you. I put it in your hands, and God, I want you to know something. I trust you. I trust you. I preached a message, it was the Sunday after Easter. And I was talking about what's next. What's next after God has raised us up? What's next after God has delivered us from sin? What's next after he's delivered us from those that are oppressing us? What's next? Well, to give you a brief synopsis, we've got to hear from God, and we've got to learn to trust God and honor him as holy, and we've got to obey him. We've got to obey him. If you did not trust a teacher, you would not listen to the things that they had to say. You would not follow the practices that they were instructing you in. And so there needs to be a realization that our life is, we're only alive because God wants us alive. A lot of people think that God's trying to, you know, wipe them off the planet. That's not true. If that was true, he would just withdraw his hand and bam, there you go. We need to say, God, I need to lift my life up to a higher standard, and I want you to know I trust you. And it says here in verse number 4 that God will teach that person his path, the journey that he takes, the course that he wants you to follow. It also says in verse number 5, lead me in your truth and teach me. So not only is it a person who lifts up their voice or lifts up their life to the Lord and trusts him, but it is the person who is willing to be led. Willing to be led. Last week we talked about Solomon, who would impart wisdom to his servants. I'm an observer of human nature. And there are times when I have been surprised when people moved on from Merit Assembly of God. There have been other times when I wasn't surprised at all. Whenever a person begins to manifest a situation or in their personality that they're not receiving or they're not manifesting the ability to be taught anything or say things like, there's nothing else you can teach me. I was around a pastor one day and he was doing a class and that person said, there's nothing that you can teach, nothing else that you can teach me. Well, at that point in time, that's relationship is going to hit a brick wall. If you do not believe that God can teach you anything, you're not going to learn anything. If you don't lift up your soul to him, you're not going to learn anything. If you don't trust him, you're not going to learn anything. If you do not allow him to show you his ways, you're never going to learn the paths that he takes. What is it that it says in Psalm 23:3? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So his paths are righteous paths. If you don't learn those paths, guess what paths that leaves you? Unrighteous paths. And so David says, God, teach me your path. In verse number 8, it says this, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. So the first person that he teaches is a person who lifts up his soul to God. The second person that he teaches is a person who trusts God. The third person that he teaches is a person who can be led in truth. And the fourth person, you say, well, I don't know about if I can do all of those things. The fourth person that he is willing to teach is sinners. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So right now, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, everyone is qualified for class. Everybody. You and I are eligible to be taught by God. What a merciful God that we have, who is willing to teach people who have been trapped in sin the way to live in victory. Do you realize that David, that wrote this psalm, that they didn't even think enough of him, that his father didn't, to invite him to his own coronation, his own anointing service as king? Didn't think enough of David to even draft him into the army. He was too young to go and deliver Israel from their greatest foe, but he did it anyway. You see, don't focus on your limitations. God is a great believer in his potential to deliver you from sin and transform you into a saint. A saint is not just somebody that is beatified by Rome. A saint is a person who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and walks as a person who is set apart to God's holy purpose. Okay? So, good and upright is the Lord. God teaches us because he's good, because he's upright. He doesn't teach us because we're good, because we're upright. He teaches us because we're not. And yet he wants us to live a life that is healthy, that is vibrant, that is blessed, that is pain-free. You've heard me talk about a misery index. God wants your misery index to be very low. A lot of people want their misery index to be very high. If you reject God as your teacher, you're going to have a very high misery index. Okay? I don't think I ever transferred classes simply because of a teacher. I had some wonderful teachers. I had some teachers that didn't quite measure up to that definition. Let's put it that way. I had a teacher one time that had written the textbook. And he was very full of himself because he wrote the textbook. I had had a teacher in the same subject. It was a math class. The year before, I wasn't even supposed to be in that class. I was supposed to have had the class I took as an 11th grader. I was supposed to have had that class as a 10th grader. But as a 10th grader, they put me in the 11th grade class. And then as an 11th grader, I ended up in the 10th grade class. When I was a 10th grader, my teacher was a great teacher. I wasn't a perfect student, but she believed in me. She's like, you know what? You could go on and take advanced math, but it would require that you do something that you're probably not going to want to do. My parents did not want me to go on and take, I forget what the next class was. They didn't want me taking that during summer school. And in those days, the only way to get to calculus was to take one other class besides trigonometry, and I don't remember what that was. She was a great teacher. She was one of my favorite teachers. When I was in Bible college, I had a teacher just absolutely marvelous. He got so much. He taught me in a manner that helped me to succeed. I had some wonderful teachers. I also had some that didn't meet up with that definition. There are some teachers that I couldn't tell you one thing that I learned in their class. But thank God that God is a good and upright teacher, and he teaches sinners in the way, not just perfect people. Verse number 9, this is where we're going to get to our, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. So if you look at this, he is looking for someone who is humble, who is manifesting humility, a person who can be guided, a person who God will guide in justice. It's a tremendous journey from living as a sinner to being humble enough to allow God to guide you, to teach you in justice, trained in justice. And it says in verse number 9, and the humble he teaches his way. These are individual students. These are people who are manifesting that they're willing to admit, God, I need some help in this area. Be humble enough to learn from God. Okay? The world's got enough arrogant people. It doesn't need any more arrogant people in church. Okay? The scripture says that God opposes the proud. Doesn't mean that he just opposes the proud outside of church. He opposes the proud. You know what he does to the humble? He gives grace to the humble. He trains them in justice. He teaches them in his way. So let's go on to verse number 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Okay, so you could look at that, the path that God teaches us. So it's a righteous path. It is a merciful path. It is a truth. It is a true path. It is a just path. Verse number 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he, capital H-E, chooses. So here is the here's the last one of these that we're going to look at. You know, we started off, God teaches people who lift their soul up to him, who trust in God. God leads them, they're able to be led. In verse number 8, it talks about that he teaches sinners in the way. Verse number 9, he teaches the humble, he guides them in the path and guides them in the way in justice. Verse number 12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall God teach in the way God chooses. Did you know that there are different manners in which people learn? There are some people who learn from books. I'm more of a person who learns by doing. Doesn't mean I can't read, doesn't mean I don't have resources that make it available, that when I apply myself that I can learn that way, but it is not my favorite way. I know a person, their mind works differently than mine does, and so they love to sit down and read an instruction manual, an operator's manual. They love that stuff. I know people who reading for them is very challenging. Their eyes don't always see things the way that everybody else does. But I tell you what, if you let them work with you and practice, you're going to find they're not stupid. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. Every once in a while, when my kids were growing up, I would present to them a situation and say, how would you solve this? And they would come up with a solution. You know, I believe that we need to walk in relationship with God to where we reverence him as a teacher. You know, my wife likes to watch a lot of cooking shows. You know what I notice about cooking shows? First of all, I don't understand why anybody would subject themselves to being critiqued and picked apart and trying to do something impossible in a short time frame, and then they're just going to scream and holler and yell at you. I don't understand why anybody would do that. But the one thing that I notice is that in each of those situations, that those people, whenever they respond, they say, "Yes, chef." "No, chef." "Thank you, chef." There is a reverence to the skill set that they have, and they realize that that person is sharing that information to further their skill development later on down the road. I wonder, have we lost the aspect of reverence? I'm not talking about worship. I'm not talking about, you know, that you don't get moved by a song and things like that. I'm talking about where you honor God because you know he's the omnipotent, omniscient God who can do anything and knows everything about you. And yet, because we have the humility to hold him in awe and esteem and reverence, he says, "I'm going to teach you the way that I choose." The way that I choose. I, in all honesty, I did not choose Merit Assembly of God. God did. I didn't even know the church existed. God did. Most of the 28 years, almost 28 years that I've been there, let's see, 28? No. Yeah, 28 plus. It'll be 29 this year. Most of that time, I've not been the expert. I've just been a student that's a little further along in the class than everybody else. You're not going to find me claiming to have expertise. I've got some experience. I've got some things that I've learned, but I'm still in class. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody that didn't reverence a teacher because they were arrogant. But I tell you what, when I see that, it's like, it won't be long until they're out of the class. I don't ever want to be out of the class. I want God to continue to teach me. Let him teach you as well. Let's hold him in worship. See you next
Thank
time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."